In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, brothers and sisters, we can sum up the meaning of this parable about the talents by what the Apostle says. Receive not the grace of God in vain. That's what this is all about. Now, there are a lot of meaning to the different things about the talents, what a talent means, what going into a far country means, what the goods are, all these things. Many, many deep theological meanings in this parable. But the long and short of it is this. Do not receive the grace of God in vain. That's the question that everyone should ask themselves every day. Why are they doing this? Are they receiving the grace of God in vain or not? Are you living as a Christian or not? Are you increasing the talents given to you or not? We see the result of the man who had the one talent and did not increase it. He was judged quite harshly, and even that which he thought he had was taken away. So, the take-home, shall we say, from this parable is, you've been given grace. You've been baptized. The Holy Spirit abides in you. A guardian angel protects you. The holy mysteries are available to you. The wisdom of the fathers, the sacraments of the church, all of the things that God has given to you are available. And you must grow, you must change, you must trade with this grace and obtain more. This is the Christian life, to become better, to become more pure, to become more holy, to take that which is given us and give to others. So that's what this parable, in essence, means. We can go into a little bit of the detail of the parable. But what's most important, you don't have to be educated to understand the way of Christianity. It's in the heart. God has given us grace that we did not deserve. From that grace, we should have a sense of gratitude and a sense of a desire to help others, to be good to others, and to become good as our Lord is good. That is the increasing of the talents. So let's talk about this parable in detail a little bit. But always remembering what the parable teaches is do not receive the grace of God in vain. You have been given grace. You are required to use it. So there is the kingdom of heaven is being likened now to this man who travels into a far country after giving his goods to people. The kingdom of heaven parables, there are many of them, aren't there? They're always about how we must live to obtain the kingdom of heaven. Or, also sometimes, along with that idea, is what the kingdom of heaven, the state of the kingdom of heaven, what the state of the soul is in the kingdom of heaven, the type of person that's in the kingdom of heaven. So, there's a man traveling into a far country, and of course the man is God, right? In the far country, well, in the Psalms there's some things about the wicked think that God is far away, they don't see God, and therefore they can do their evil things. God is not immediately apparent to us right now, right? We don't see Him. So, perhaps sometimes it seems like He is far away. We know that He isn't. But the mind plays tricks. So he calls his own servants, and the original servants that this parable is referring to is the apostles. Because the travel that is being referred to is the ascension. So the Lord Jesus Christ taught his apostles. He accomplished the work that he was given to do by his life, and by his sacrifice on the cross, by his resurrection and teaching the apostles for those 40 days. And then he ascended into heaven, as it were, traveled into the far country, giving his goods to the apostles and to us. And these goods are things that I've discussed already. Baptism the grace of God within us, the Holy Spirit abiding within us, our guardian angel protecting us, the whole hedge round about us of the church and of the fulfilled law. All these things are the goods that God has given to us. Now, to one He gave 5, to one He gave 2, to one He gave 1. This is according to our purity, according to the vessel that we present to God. Some are full of goodness, full of openness to God, and so they receive more. Some of us receive very little, because the grace of God cannot be contained in our small vessel. There's not enough room. But if you notice something, even the one who was not as, shall we say, holy as the other, the one who received the 2, less than half as good, shall we say, if we use arithmetic. At the end, when the man comes back from his long journey, which is the second coming and the last judgment, and he reckons with everyone, if you notice, the words that he says to each one, the one with the 5, one with the 2, are identical. Identical. One traded with 5 and received the other 5. He started with more, and he gained more. The one with 2 gained 2. And yet the same reward was given. Doesn't this remind you of that parable about the 11th hour, about the ones who come in from the 3rd hour, the 6th hour, and even to the 11th hour, and they work in the field, and one only works 1 hour, and yet he's given the same penny as everyone else? Don't concern yourself so much with which one you are, whether you're the 5 or the 2. I'd be more concerned about whether or not you're the 1. And that has to do with your mentality, with how you live your life. Because certainly the talents can increase, because God has given you everything necessary to become good and to increase your talents. Now, they were given the same reward, we'll be given the same reward, if we struggle to increase our talents. But what about the man who had the 1 talent? He spoke very truly about the Lord. Not so truly in calling him a hard man, but in describing that he reaps where he does not sow. That's true. That's true. Because we are to do good works in his for him. He gives us grace, and we do good works. This is part of the meaning of that very complex and beautiful parable of the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan. He brings the man to the inn, takes care of him, and in the morning he tells the innkeeper, "You take care of him now. And when I come back from my long journey," same journey here we're talking about, "then I will repay you." The Lord uses people to help other people. And so we are responsible for producing fruit. The Lord is not responsible for it. We are responsible. So, this man who lived for himself, the grace of God that was given him, he used only for himself. He was not concerned about others. He was not concerned about purification of the soul. He lived his life. He might have been a pretty good guy, you know. Might have gone to church. Might have donated to the church, etc., etc. But God knows the inner man. And you should know your inner man too. Are you doing things for God, or are you doing things because they appear to be a good thing to do for your career advancement, or the way people talk about you, or whatever? There's a lot of reasons to do things. There's only one right reason to do things, and that is for Christ. The man spoke truly about God. We are to bear fruit. We're responsible for this. When I read this, I must admit to you, a few years back, I think I read this as saying, I thought of myself as the person with the two talents. I can't, not five, I mean, I've got to be humble about things, right? But not the one. I mean, after all, I'm a Christian. I live as a Christian. And I can't be the one with the one talent. But the more I think about it, and the more I see how many wasted opportunities I have wasted to do good, to act as a Christian, to pray for others, to be concerned for others, to help others, to be pure in my heart, to choose to do right instead of wrong, the amount of times that I have chosen the wrong way. And I wonder sometimes, why am I so sure that I've got the two talents? Much of what God has given me has been buried in the ground. And I think if you're honest with yourselves, you would, in assessing yourselves, agree with this assessment. A lot of what you've been given has been buried in the ground. I don't know how much we can bury, and still the Lord will say to us, well done. I don't know. I think we should fear that we might be that one with the one talent. So I think we should take home from this parable, we should look, search diligently for opportunities to do good to others. Not just take life as it comes. Not just get up in the morning and do this and do that and sometimes say our prayers and sometimes not and then go to work and then have this happen and that happen and the other thing happen and etc., etc. That's just living like the animals. We should live with purpose. The purpose of our day is to become like Christ. No matter what else is happening, that's the purpose. We should focus this purpose. And we should look for opportunities to give these talents that God has given us to others. Because unlike money, when you give money to others, you no longer have money. But this is using money as a metaphor for God's grace. When you give God's grace to others, that is, when you are good because of the grace of God within you, and give someone a kind word, or give someone alms, or give someone help in some way alleviating their suffering, whatever it may be, or maybe just be kind to someone that doesn't get much kindness, when you give to others, you don't lose any. You retain that which you have given. In fact, more is given to you besides. This is the kind of economics that is in the kingdom of heaven. If you give, then you receive. In the world, it's not like that. But in heaven, it is. And the kingdom of heaven is here and now for us. Brothers and sisters, look at yourselves. Make sure that you have not received the grace of God in vain. You can fool everybody, except really yourself and God. Look inside yourself carefully. What do you need to change? What do you need to focus on more? Who do you need to help? In which way are you living selfishly? Look carefully. Because this parable is both a wonderful parable and a terrible one. There will be a judgment. God will look at us and He will ask us, have you exchanged your talents for others? And if we have not, then we will go where there is the gnashing of teeth. Don't be so sure that you're the one with the two talents. I would hope nobody thinks they have five, huh? Instead, live in fear that perhaps you are not using the gifts that God has given you. So let us decide right now, today, this moment. We're going to do better. We're not going to live so selfishly. We're going to understand and recognize the grace of God is given to us for others, not for ourselves. And God will help us. And when he comes back from his far journey, which he certainly will, he will see us as he sees himself. He will see his image carefully tended to within our souls. And he will say, "Well, good, well done, good and faithful servant." Amen.